Science of Deduction, Sherlock Holmes for the 21st Century, Episode 4, Missing Bride. Adapted by Alexa Chipman from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Post-production by Alex Lawsford.
New case? You were out, I assumed.
No, just out for a breather.
Well, the post's been... mostly the usual, but there's one for you.
Reading my letters, are we?
No, I meant the seal, and the envelope, and the name. Is someone winding you up? The last few notes you had were from a fisherman and a barmaid.
Yes, my correspondence certainly has the charm of variety, and the humbler are usually more interesting. It appears this will be one of the unwelcome social invitations which call upon me to either be bored or lie. Curious. He wishes to consult me professionally.
A peer. In our flat.
Yes. 10 minutes.
Bloody hell. Sherlock, help me clean up. You could help. Most of this rubbish is yours.
I assure you, the status of my client is of no interest. It is purely the case which intrigues me. Have you read The Guardian lately?
Well, I haven't had much else to do. What with my shoulder twinging again?
Ah, yes. The wound in Afghanistan. Fortunate turn of luck.
My being in pain is fortunate.
Yes, because you can fill me in on the details. I read nothing but criminal news. What can you tell me of Lord Robert St. Simon's wedding?
Oh, that's been all over the telly. Mrs. Hudson and I were watching it only this morning.
Excellent, because the note I received runs as follows. Lord Blackwater tells me that I may place implicit reliance on your judgment and discretion. I have determined to consult you in reference to the extremely painful event regarding my wedding. Detective Inspector Lestrade is already investigating, but had no objection to your assistance. I will stop by at 4 o'clock. This matter is of grave importance. It's written with a ballpoint pen. The Lord has had the misfortune to get a smear of ink on the outer side of his right little finger. Ah, your computer has booted up. Thank you.
Wait, that's... I was...
Lord Robert Walsingham de Vere St. Simon, second son of the Duke of blah blah blah, arms azure, 3 caltrops in chief over, no need for that detail, 41 years of age, was an under-secretary in the previous ministry. They inherit Plantagenet and Tudor blood. Well, that was hardly instructive. I fear I must turn to you, John. Sit down and give me the full facts of the matter in chronological order. And leave the skull, it does no harm there.
I'm sorry to say, I followed it quite closely. I mean, it was Mrs. Hudson that put me onto it. I remember the first was a headline when I logged into my email. Marriage between Lord Robert St. Simon and Hattie Dorin of San Francisco. Then Mrs. Hudson showed me a paragraph in the Daily Mail, something about our marriage market.
Here it is. There will soon be a call for protection in the marriage market. One by one, our noble families are heading across the pond on the hunt. The latest prize is Lord Robert, who has now definitely let it slip that he'll be marrying Hattie Duran, daughter of a California millionaire. She's got it where it counts, and not just with the fortune. Everyone knows the Duke has been selling off everything but the carpets, so it seems that the Valley Girl isn't the only one to profit by the match.
I think I saw on a website that it said it would be a small wedding with only a dozen friends. Then there was an article in the paper that the ceremony had taken place. That's when it all started.
What did?
You really don't know.
No. You're enjoying this.
The great Sherlock Holmes, stumped at last.
John.
She vanished.
Who?
The bride, of course. Came to the reception, then disappeared and hasn't been heard from since. They've been looking all over.
This is more interesting than I'd hoped. Dramatic, in fact. Brides often leave before the ceremony and occasionally during the honeymoon, but I don't remember anything so prompt as this.
They arrested Flora, of course. She was an old girlfriend of Lord Robert and made a big row just after the ceremony. Bugger, the kitchen. I forgot to clean up there.
Relax. If he's come to me, he's desperate, and a few old chip papers won't put him off. Lord Robert, please have a seat. This is my friend...
Colleague.
John Watson.
This is a most painful matter to me. I know you've handled delicate cases like this before, though of course not from my level of society.
True. I'm descending.
Excuse me?
My last client was a king.
Really? Which one?
I extend the same secrecy which I offer you to all my clients.
Had he lost his wife, too?
Lord Robert, my time is valuable. Please proceed with your narrative. When did you first meet Hattie?
A year ago, in San Francisco.
You were traveling in the States?
Yes.
Did you become engaged then?
No.
But you were on a friendly footing?
Yes, we had a bit of a fling.
And her father is very rich?
He was clever enough to pull out before the economy crashed. Owned a technology company and sold just in time.
What's Hattie like? Her personality, I mean.
She lived on a ranch for most of her life. Bit of a tomboy. She's strong, impetuous, unfettered. She makes up her mind quickly and is fearless in carrying out her decisions. But of course, I would not think of marrying her had I not also known her to be capable of heroic self-sacrifice and the ability to behave with decorum when necessary.
Do you have a photo of her?
Yes. Here. I have a whole gallery in my mobile. I can email it to you later.
That would be most helpful.
She came to London on holiday, and we met at several parties. One thing led to another, and we became engaged. It wasn't just for her money, Mr. Holmes. She's a fascinating woman.
Did you see her before the wedding?
Yes. She was very happy, and kept talking about where we should enroll our future children in school.
Did you observe any change during or after the ceremony?
She was upset over... It is so daft.
Every detail is of importance.
She dropped a bouquet as we were leaving. It fell onto one of the pews. Fortunately, the bloke who was sitting there had the presence of mind to quickly return it. But she became very flustered and positively snapped at me on our way to the reception.
Did you know the man?
No. One of the general public who had wandered in, I dare say. But we're wandering from the point.
Lady St. Simon returned from the church in a less cheerful state of mind than when she had gone into it? What did she do upon reaching the reception?
Rushed off to talk with Andrea, a friend who had flown over from Nevada to be bridesmaid.
Did you overhear any of it?
You looked gorgeous, but...
Andrea, what do I do? I had no idea he was a claim jumper.
That was all I heard. They moved off into another room. A few minutes later, they both came back. Hattie had some tea, then muttered a quick apology and left again. She never returned. Afterward, she was seen walking with Flora Miller.
Yes, do elaborate upon her.
We'd broken it off years ago, but she never quite gave me up. It's the title, I think. She emailed so often, I had to block her IP address. She started texting me some horrible insults. Honestly, I wanted a small wedding so she wouldn't make a fuss at it. She was waiting for us at the reception door.
He's mine, I tell you. Mine! He'll never care about you. All he wants is your filthy fortune. He doesn't love you.
Please, Flora.
Oh, I'll kill her. I will.
Security!
Get off me! Robbie! Robbie, leave her in the street where you found her.
And your wife was seen with this woman afterwards?
Yes. Lestrade thought it highly suspicious. She had decoyed my wife and laid a trap for her.
That is a possible supposition.
You agree?
No, I said possible, not probable. What do you think?
Flora's passionate, but she's harmless.
Jealousy can change people we thought we knew.
So, what is your theory, Lord Robert?
I came here to seek a theory, not propound one. All I can guess is that my wife was overcome by nerves and has gone to a spa or some other retreat.
In short, that she suddenly went round the bend.
Well, no, just... I mean, I can hardly explain it all.
Very well, I have my data. Could you see the garden and street from the reception windows?
Yes, everything. She was very fond of airy rooms. Should you be fortunate enough to solve this mystery, I would...
I have solved it.
What? Where's my wife?
A minor detail I will swiftly remedy.
Lestrade warned me about you.
That was quick.
Simple matter. I solved it before he arrived.
Sherlock, that's... You amaze me.
I have notes of similar cases. There was a parallel instance in Aberdeen a few years back, and one in Munich. That will be Lestrade.
How could you know that?
Police car outside. No one else on the force would drop by. Lestrade, you look confused. Nothing new, then?
It's this infernal marriage case. It's got me confounded. I can't make head or tail of it.
Really?
It's so mixed up. Every clue seems to slip through my fingers. I've been hard at work on it all day.
What would you need divers for, then?
To search for Attie's body, of course. And how did you know?
Your coat is still covered with the spray from the boat. Have you tried the fountain in Trafalgar Square yet?
Why?
You're just as likely to find her body there as in the Thames.
Really? I suppose you think you've solved the case already.
I heard the facts, and my mind is made up.
Care to explain why I found her wedding dress then?
Oi, not near my computer. And put that sodden thing back in the bag or Mrs. Hudson will have her necks.
I've already checked. It's hers. Found it floating. And where her clothes are, the body won't be far off.
By that logic, every man is to be found in the same neighbourhood as his wardrobe. What did you hope to accomplish?
Finding evidence implicating Flora Miller.
You won't find any.
This proves you aren't very practical with your deductions. You've made two blunders in mere minutes. The dress does implicate Flora. There was a card case in her pocket with a note.
You will see me when all is ready. Come at once, FHM.
So, clearly, Hattie was decoyed away by Flora Miller. No doubt the note was slipped into her hand during the commotion at the door.
Let me see that, John. Very good, Lestrade. You have been very helpful. This is extremely important. I congratulate you.
Sherlock, you're looking at the wrong side.
On the contrary, this is the right side.
You're mad. The penciled note is on the other side.
Yes, but it's the fragment of a hotel bill which interests me deeply. October 6th. Breakfast £40.50, raspberry tickler £15.50, king prawn Caesar salad £24.50, room £1,120.
So?
This really is excellent work, Lestrade.
I've wasted enough time with you. I have work to be getting on with. You sit here and spin your theories and we'll see who finds her first.
Just one hint to you, Lestrade. Lady St. Simon is a myth. She never existed.
Well, Watson, I believe I must fetch my computer. We shall need to divide all luxury London hotels between us.
I find it hard enough paying the rent on this place.
No, John. We must find a menu which matches the bill. Raspberry tickler, £15.50.
Why are we doing this again?
Expensive items, even for London. Our quarry was staying at whichever hotel the slip was from. Pity it was torn or we could have seen the logo.
And who are we looking for?
The mysterious American who caught her bouquet.
How do you know he was American?
Hattie has only been in the UK for a few months. Only an American would have caused her to leave her own wedding reception without any explanation.
Old boyfriend?
Possibly. But why has she not returned?
Murder?
I do not believe so. Ah, here we have it. Covent Garden Hotel. Their restaurant lists not only our elusive raspberry cocktail, but the salad as well. A look at their accommodations page should clear up the room. Terrace Suite. £1,120 per night. We have him, John. Covent Garden Hotel? Yes. I found a wallet of one of your guests. It had a bill from you in it. Initials FHM. Frank Hay Moulton? American gentleman? Did he leave his mobile number? Yes, thank you. I will tell him. Goodbye. Now, to send a quick text to Frank and Lord Robert.
Other than ruining my budget for the month, why are we here?
I hardly think your meagre order of soup will do such damage.
Here it would. Did you see their wine list? Looked like the phone book.
I got your text. Are you certain?
You doubt me.
What will the Duke say when he hears of this humiliation?
It was merely an accident. No one's to blame. I hardly think she could have done anything else.
Easy for you to say.
Try to make an allowance for her. Think of her shock.
Her shock? What about mine? I've never been so put out. Good God! Hattie!
Allow me to present Mr. and Mrs. Frank Hay Moulton. You've already met Mrs. Moulton.
Oh, you're angry, Robbie. I can't really blame you.
Don't bother to apologize to me.
Oh, I know I treated you badly, and I should have said something before I left, but I was so upset. I saw Frank and fell into this daze. I didn't know what I was doing or saying. I'm amazed I didn't make a scene right there in the church. If Andrea hadn't been there, I don't know what I would have done.
Perhaps you should tell Lord Robert the story from the beginning.
Right. I met Frank back when we were kids. He was on a ranch nearby.
Raised Holsteins.
Anyway, when my dad started making millions in Silicon Valley, he started making a fuss about us going out. Said I couldn't see Frank anymore. I was only a teen then. I told him we wanted to move in together and, well, he lost it, threw Frank out and wouldn't let us see each other anymore.
I knew her dad didn't like the fact that I was so poor, so I scraped up enough to go to university. By the time I got out, I was worse off than before, in debt up to my ears and still only starting out.
I know we could have gotten married even with my dad so angry, but it didn't seem right.
It took a while to convince her into it, but finally, we got in a car and drove for the Nevada border. Found a nice little chapel and got married. Andrea was there. She was living in Reno back then.
We never told my father about it.
I went back east to find work, and Hattie couldn't make up many excuses for flying out there, so we hardly saw each other. It took a while, but finally I began making a decent income. I started going on a lot of business trips overseas.
That's when I read about one of the terrorist bombings. His name was in the casualties. I was so upset. I tried to get more information, but couldn't reveal who I was. Dad took me to half the doctors in the city, but they couldn't figure out why I was so ill.
I got tied up at work, and when she stopped emailing, I thought maybe she'd found someone else. I just didn't want to push it. You know, long-distance relationships are always hard. I always meant to email the next day, but never did. I thought she didn't care about me anymore. It was selfish, but I just didn't want to read that Dear John letter back.
When Robbie came, well, he was the first person to make me smile in months. All his talk of London got my interest, so I headed out to see it for myself. That's when we got engaged. I thought Frank was dead, and I was so miserable.
I saw the news headlines about her marriage, and I tried to contact her, but her phone number didn't work, and the emails bounced.
I had switched cell providers and was getting too many spam messages, so I'd gone to a different email, too.
I looked online, and it gave the church and date, but not how to contact Hattie. So I raced to London and sat through the ceremony. I thought she changed her mind about me, but when I saw her face and knew she had recognized me,
I thought I was seeing a ghost.
You thought Frank was dead. We all did.
I have a note. He's asking me to go see him. I should go tell Robbie first.
Do you really want to face all those duchesses out there?
No, you're right. I'd freeze up.
Look, change into my old clothes. I brought them so I could get out of this ridiculous bridesmaid's outfit.
Are you sure?
Oh, sure. I'll dump the dress out back in the river. Nobody will know.
Into the reception to get some tea to calm down before making that final plunge. Well, I spotted Frank out by the road waving to me, so I left, changed into Andrea's outfit, and snuck out the back door. On my way, some woman came up and started shouting. I think she was some old flame of Robbie's. Well, I managed to get rid of her, and I came round to Frank.
I said she should go back in and tell them who I was, but she refused. I guess all those fine lords and ladies were a bit scary. We were going to leave for Paris tonight, but I got Sherlock's text, and he popped round to explain the situation. I didn't want to be part of a missing persons case.
Robbie, I am so sorry about all of this. Please forgive me. shake hands?
I should do no such thing, young lady.
I had hoped you'd join us in a friendly tea.
I may be forced to acquiesce to these developments, but you can hardly expect me to make merry over them. Good night.
Well, I hope that you at least will stay. I'm always happy to meet Americans. This case has certainly been an interesting one. It goes to show how simple the explanation of a problem may be in an affair which seems to be inexplicable. Nothing could be more simple than your explanation, Hattie. And yet nothing could be stranger than the result when viewed, for example, by Lestrade.
How did you work it out, Sherlock?
From the first, two facts were obvious. You were willing to be married, but then instantly repented of it. Something caused this sudden change of mind. When I heard of the dropping of your bouquet, a most transparent ruse for obtaining the note, the conclusion became obvious. Lord Robert overheard a remark about claim jumping, but also gave a shining tribute to his belief you would not willingly harm his reputation. Only a former husband could have broken your loyalty.
You seem nice enough, but from what I've seen of Lord Robert's, Brits aren't very gracious as a whole.
Yes, but after all the trouble of winning a lady's heart, and the terrible inconveniences of preparing for a wedding, you can hardly blame him when, in an instant, he was deprived of wife and fortune. Now, where was that wine list?
Featuring the voice talent of Alex Lawsford as narrator, Terry Cooper as Sherlock Holmes, David McAveer as Dr. John Watson, Gareth Bowley as Detective Inspector Lestrade, Edward Herman as Lord Robert St. Simon, Gwendolyn Jensen Woodard as Hattie Doran, Brian Reed as Frank Hay Bolton, Kim Giannopoulos as Andrea, Bernadette Groves as Flora Miller, music thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incomputech.com. This is a Misfits Audio production. Please visit misfitsaudio.com for more information. Released under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license in 2013.